Revelation chapter 1. Amen. Todd, you still with us? All right, just making sure. Declan, you still with us? All right, good. Revelation chapter 1. Let's read a few verses of scripture. See if we can get at least through verse 3 tonight. Now you know why I said I'm just trying to get to the rapture of the church, Revelation 4. Because if we're only in verse 3, we're going to be here for a while. Amen. And you'll be glad because you'll get there and you'll say, oh, our pastor was just talking about that for the last 3 years. What is up with y'all tonight? Could you share that with us?
No.
No? Maddie, you want to share that with us? Make your dad and mom back there proud? No. All right. Revelation chapter 1. Oh, some of y'all. The revelation of Ryan, you want to share that with the rest of us?
No, I was asking.
Oh, you were just asking what it was? So you were going to tell me later on? See, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Look what time it is. See how much time you're wasting in our services, Michaela? Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Now, he's not talking about how quick my sermon will be. He's talking about revelation, Brother Dan, all right? Which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. And this is where we're at tonight. Blessed is he that readeth, and that's not gender specific, ladies. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. If it was at hand then, can you imagine how much more at hand it is now? John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and we read these last time. There's a bunch of trinities here. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Numbers are a big thing in the book of Revelation. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, another trinity. Unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Another trinity. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth, shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. And you have to realize Jesus is talking, then John's talking, and so on and so forth. It says, I, John, who am also a brother, or am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Don't ever think wherever God places you, it might be important for you to be there. John was at Patmos so he could receive the revelation to give to those seven churches and to us today. You might be at your job or in your family or somewhere out and about on a day-to-day basis, and you need to be where you need to be so that God can talk to you through you to somebody else. He says in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. Now they were not the only churches at that time. And we'll get into that. There were several churches during this time that John was on the Isle of Patmos. But he chose seven specific churches. And he turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And we want Jesus to be standing in the midst of our candlestick, don't we? I hope so. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like undefined brass, as if they burned in a furnace. Seems like I read somewhere he was in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Seems like I read that somewhere else. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Now you see the contrast between the Pharisee standing up and praying. When we get in his presence, there is humility. And it's not forced humility. When we see him and behold him for who he is, his eyes tell the story. You know, it's mom cutting her eyes at one of her kids acting a fool on a pew. That's how that works. And God doesn't cut his eyes at us, but when he looks at us, we know what we're guilty of. And he looks at us through the word of God if we'll read it. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he said, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And God doesn't look. Now, notice that. The eyes are like fire. But he's not doing it to condemn us. He's doing it to draw us closer to him. Yeah, right. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Boy, if we could ever get that down as parents when we discipline our children. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested there, so that show you a mystery about the church. And here you research that word mystery out, and the church is a mystery to a lot of people, but God reveals that to us if you read the Bible. It's not that much of a mystery. But he was sitting there saying, the mystery of the 7 stars... which thou sawest in my right hand and the 7 golden candlesticks, the 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. See, it's not that much of a mystery if you research it. And the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. And there was more than 7 churches, but those 7 churches, we're going to find out, they tell a very big story even to us today. And so I could read the whole of Revelation, but I want to go back to verse 3, and that'll be our text verse for tonight. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight. Thank you for church. Thank you for everything that I got here. From the moment I walked in my office this morning and fellowshipped with a brother until this evening, when we just were able to chuckle amongst ourselves and enjoy church, it's not a dredge to come to church for me. It's an encouragement. Tomorrow I won't have the church around me. And it might be a struggle with whatever situation's taking place in my life. So help me to get all that I can tonight and be able to utilize it in the days until we can get back together. Thank you for the church, the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, and Lord, the eternal Word of God. We thank you for it. Help us tonight, I plead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, again, and I find myself saying this recently, I'm doing series in every services. I'm getting help. I don't know if anybody else is getting help in the Sunday morning service. It's woodshed help. It's worship help. It's woe me help. It's a lot of things. I'm very cognizant of my prayer life lately, that it doesn't have to be rambling and routine and religious and everything. It can just be conversations. I had a wonderful time. I think Libby saw me in the garage after I got done, and you know, I was all eyes all swolled up, and it wasn't from cutting grass. It was just riding around and just appreciating God, and that you got to find time to get with him. Right. You got to find time to talk to him, and I'm trying to, Brother Ryan, I guess, refine my prayer life. Help men ought always to pray and faint not. Is that not? Help me, Jacob. You King James critiquist. What? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And so what's that tell me? I could faint. There's a possibility to faint, but I'm supposed to pray. And if I pray, I won't faint. And so we have a lot of people that faint. And I would imagine if you peeled back the layers of their life before they fainted, they probably weren't praying. And praying is just simply talking to God. So And I said all that to say this. It seems like every time with my introduction, and Andrew's been so critical of me with my heavy introductions, I've been trying. Did you notice I've been really shortening my introductions down? Because Andrew's been heavy on the introductions thing? No. I keep saying this over and over again. Tonight, again, we pick up where we left off. And if you think about it, every time you go back to your Bible, whether it's a sermon from the pulpit or whether it's just your devotional life, you're going to pick up in your Bible where you left off. And sometimes, for some of us, it might be a left off for a long time. And it shouldn't ought to be, and I'm glad we do that. But one of these days, I'll get out of those series, at least for Sunday morning. But we pick up where we left off, and that is in verse 3. I got through verse 2. We pick up in verse 3 this evening. We've looked so far as we've studied this book at the preface or the prologue, whatever you want to call it. It has to be a P. I have to stay with P's, so I just had to use one and use my thesaurus. So whether it's a preamble, a preface, or a prologue, Miss Laura, stay with me. We looked at that of the revelation. And we looked at two aspects of that preface to the revelation, and that its origin, where it came from, and then regarding its objective, what it's supposed to do. And there's a lot that, not just revelation, the Bible's supposed to do. I think too many of us read it just to say we read it instead of reading it for what's it have to say. And I tell the Timothy guys all the time, I've sat under a lot of people preaching, and I've sat under folks that just open the Bible up, and you sit there at the end of it once they're done, and there's no invitation. You sit there and you go, okay, that was good information, but what was it the preacher wanted me to do? Every time you read your Bible, you ought to read it at least to the place where it doesn't only give you the principle, but it gives you the promise. And the book of Revelation has a lot of principles in them, but there's promises in there as well. And so it's like when I was at the Oak Grove this week, I'm going to get to the end of my message. I'm going to find a place where the challenge can be laid down. And there is all kinds of those in this book. There's an origin to the revelation, and there's an objective. God wasn't just revealing to John things that he wanted to reveal to him, and John go, wow, that's good stuff. I'm glad to know that. It's good stuff to be aware of, to prevent. The churches that those people wrote, that Jesus wrote to, there was an origin. It came from Jesus in the center of the candlesticks, but there was an objective. And we're going to get to that objective, what he didn't want to transpire into that church. And can I say this? The Bible wasn't just written to a specific people at a specific time for a specific purpose. It was also written so that we might glean something from it. And every one of those letters to every one of those churches, you can apply that into the church. When Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, that meant there's nothing new under the sun. It's just the same. Every person in the Bible that made some kind of mistake or did something great, it's going to be one of us as well. And it's our responsibility to find it and the objective in it. And you'll find when you go, are we not in the Laodicean church age? They're not cold. They're not hot. They're just tepid. God wants to spit them out of their mouth. They have need of nothing. We don't need nothing. And we are blind and naked and poor. And so, and all the other ones that are there. Ephesus lost their first love. How many people you see, man, they first get saved and they're just like, Tori, bring in somebody. Was that Tori's guest this morning? Her cousin, just bring us. She's just excited to see. You'll see her make posts about, she did one about the church. What was that thing? It was just a little statement she made about the church, or she wrote church, a hashtag church, and then emojis or something. What was that one? Does anybody remember that one the other day? Huh? Church family. She's excited. But you know what she's got to be careful of? And not just her, all of us. Get to that place in Ephesus where you left your first love. You forgot, Mike, you remember what it was like to get saved? Remember those first few weeks, those first few months? Man, it was just, just like floating on a cloud, man. And then all the other people from all the other churches, Sardis and Thyatira and all them ones got around you, Laodicean church people got around you, and before you know it, there was a lot of things to be commended of at the church at Ephesus, but he said, I got one thing against you. You've left your first love. Don't ever get to the place where you lost your first love. It's evident sometimes with some people. We just sing the songs to sing the songs. We go to the prayer room to go to the prayer room. We shake hands to just shake hands. And so all of that will happen, but there's an origin to that revelation, and there's an objective to it, and that was dealt with in the preface. Then we looked at the procurement. We got to stay with the P's, Lord, remember? Might be calling y'all this week and asking for some P's for the book of Revelation, Brother Mike. You're good at not poems. What are they? No, not alliteration. What's that thing you are absolutely. I'm going to tell you what, one of these days you need to write a book. And you know what, Mike Baldwin's compilation of quotes. Because this guy finds more quotes. I don't know, has anybody else ever tried to find quotes on the internet? I don't know where he's digging, but wherever he's digging, there's gold. And if we're not careful, we'll come to church on Sunday morning for Sunday school, and all them quotes, I've saved all of them. I got a file in my office for the next church. No, not the next church I pastor. The next Sunday school teach. The next Sunday school class I teach. I'm going to pull out Michael's folder of quotes, and he gives the topics of them and the quotes of them. Don't ever take that for granted. All the things that are offered here. We looked at the procurement of revelation. And we looked at, it was from the authoritative maestro, by his angelic messenger, and we had all the verses for this. I'm just trying to alliterate it so it makes it easy for you to understand. And then it was to his available minister for an attentive mankind. If those people in the churches weren't attentive to what was written to them, then guess what? They're going to still be the Laodicean church. Do you remember, was it Tychicus? Tychicus is said to be a person that was at the church at Laodicea. It says, and I'm trying to think of the letter that was written. I wonder if Tychicus, he told them to be mindful of his ministry. I'm wondering if Tychicus had already been told by Paul to be careful, and then Tychicus led the church at Laodicea into complacency. Everything that's said in the church, it might not apply to you, or it might not be directed at you, but it can be applied to you. And we need to realize those things. So we looked at not only the preface of the revelation, the prologue of the revelation, the procurement of the revelation, which gets us to where we pick up tonight. And we pick up tonight, and I want to again say this. I do not know how far I will go into the book of Revelation, but I'm going to at least go to the throne. Let me explain. I won't be here for the rest, and I'm hoping I'll only need to get to chapters 4 and 5. I'm really hoping. I am begging God. If there's never been a time to end your prayer with "even so, come Lord Jesus," it's now. I do not know, and I'll say it again. I said it this morning, and I want to remind everybody. And I'm really praying about whether I should preach a message on voting before the time comes. Because 295 at Circle K down the road does not mean they care about us. They're lying to us. Because they realize that most people are just like the church at Laodicea. If I have clothing and salve and money, I have all that I need. And that's what happened. Laodicea was a very rich place and it had everything they needed. But you know what they needed most and they didn't have? Was God. Because he said, "Behold, I stand at the door." Now, I wonder sometimes how many churches God is not invited to. I wonder how many churches that God stays outside because we haven't read, as he said in verse 3, blessed is he. There's a blessing to reading the revelation. There's a blessing to reading the whole book. But I at least want to get to 4 and 5. I don't know. I'm confused by Ezekiel's wheels as much as I'm confused about those things that are coming out of the pit and the whore of Babylon. And I mean, it's just, I am not an eschatology preacher. I know just enough to get myself into trouble and be warned enough that I don't want to be there. And so I'm going to see how far I can get into it. I might leave it for Brother Colossa and his Sunday school class. I don't know. Seems like he covered that. I deal with other things. I'm not saying that it's not important, but I'm going to get as far as I can. The next thing we see regarding the revelation of Jesus to John, verse 3, is not the preface of the revelation. It's not the procurement of the revelation. It's the promise of the revelation. And I think this is very important. It says in verse 3, let me read this again. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. Why? For the time is at hand. Can you imagine this morning, and I feel this way all the time, I'm trying to make the application. I really believe, not because I was the one that was doing it, I really believe some very some very pertinent information was passed down this morning from the pulpit. Some powerful stuff. That if we, that this prayer thing, it's important. We can, what did Brother O'Malley say when he was here for the missions conference? We can scream at the darkness. What was it? What was the phrase he used? Huh? Remember that one he said about Brother Urchick was here and he said, we can scream into the darkness? What was the other aspect of it he said? But we're, come on, Mr. Quote. Do you understand the concept, though? We can't just scream in the darkness. We need to do something about it. If Jesus said to his disciples, this kind cometh forth, what is it, Mike? If you get it, just shout it out, huh? What? No, I think he said we can't scream at the darkness and then do something, do nothing about it. Huh? What? Yeah, there was. He had it down in a phrase, and I wrote it down somewhere. I don't have it tonight. But here's the thing about it, just like this morning. We can blame everybody else. We can scream at everybody else. But here's the thing about it. To what aspect are we taking this thing about prayer? I asked the Lord specifically the other day. I'm just going to be honest, and I'm going to get here. About the promise of the revelation. I said to the Lord the other day, I said, Lord, there's things I've specifically prayed for. And maybe I'm just blind, Sienna, but I haven't gotten an answer to a prayer in a while. And then you know what that starts doing to me? If I regard iniquity in my heart, there's all these prayer verses that start coming up. If there's what is it? The animosity? I'm trying to think of the biblical word. You scholars in here, ought. That stops my prayer life. Difficulty between my spouse stops my prayer life. And so, you know, I'm not tugging Jesus' chain to answer my prayers, but, you know, you have to start asking yourself. So here's the thing about it. How much is being changed? So there was a lot on the table this morning. What are we doing with it? Jesus promised us that this kind cometh forth, but by prayer and fasting. But how many times will I talk to parents or people? Man, my kids are spinning out of control. And it's we've gotten to the place where we're just comfortable with it and we figure out how to navigate through it without getting an answer to our prayer. I'll tell you what, this morning there was more tears in people's eyes than I had seen in a long time. You know what that told me? Told me that I hit the button. And so there's a promise. He said, blessed is he that readeth, they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Jesus tells John and writes for us that there is a promise, if you will, regarding the revelation. And it is threefold in its entirety. Can I just say this as a side note to this? There is a promise all throughout Scripture. If we'd look for them. It's not just in the book of Revelation. And I know, and I'm not going to split hairs over it. Some people say that was, verse 3 is specific to the revelation. I'm of the persuasion, if you do that, then you can't go to chapter 22 and say that anybody that adds to or takes away the entirety of the scriptures will get these curses that are in there. I say it's all. It's a closing monologue of Jesus's summation of everything. And I say, okay, maybe it just applies to the revelation of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you what, the same thing applies to the rest of the book. Read it, hear it, keep it, and guess what? There's a blessing to it. We have a book that's alive, that you're not hurting yourself by opening it up and just reading something. It's his word will not return void. And so we see the promise of the revelation is not just contained within here, but it's all throughout Scripture if we'd look for them. At or in its most simplest form, can I say this? The Bible is a book of precepts and promises. We follow the precepts and you get the promises. You don't follow the precepts and you also get the promises. And we see that in full form in the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. So let's look at what the promise is, not necessarily what they are. And again, it's threefold. First, the promise of the revelation is found in its privilege. Now, bear with me. Bear with me as I explain that a little bit. Someone may ask, why use the word privilege as a promise? Because when Jesus conveys to John the promise of the revelation, he states this. He uses this phrase, blessed is he that. The word blessed here simply means well off, fortunate, if you will. They are fortunate. They're blessed. They are well off for what? For reading, for hearing, and keeping. And aren't we well off? Can I say this? How many in here are better off because you've read the Bible and kept some of its promises?
Amen.
So that's why I say it applies to everything. So we see the privilege. And can I say this as another thing? And I'm just going to put this on there until Wednesday. We're privileged. We're very privileged. I don't know. With that privilege, though, becomes a responsibility. You can go to the dollar store or the $1.50 store, whatever it's called now, and you can get an intact, it might not be the best quality paper or the best quality cover, but you can get a King James Bible for a dollar. That's a privilege. You know why? Because you ain't going to get one of them in Burma.
Yeah, right.
You ain't going to get one of them in India. And here's a missions message, and we're not even preaching missions tonight. If we have that kind of responsibility, the Philadelphia church, I've set before thee, is it an effectual open door? Brother Alex, help me. You're at the soundboard. You got an opportunity to do whatever back there. Is it I've set before thee an open door, or is it an effectual open door? Thank you, Mr. King James. And the Philadelphia church was a church to what? Send out people. They're sending missionaries to us now. You know why? Because we've forgotten the privilege of what we have. Brother Money, if you keep up with his prayer letters, they're getting ready to print another Bible. They're in need of another Bible for another group out there that needs to hear the Word of God, to read it, to hear it, and to keep it. Why? For the times at hand. Can you imagine the places that are... Now, when they called it the Dark Ages, it wasn't because Thomas Edison hadn't invented the light bulb yet. The Dark Ages were the Dark Ages. Why? Because we did not have the Word of God in our hands. So there was darkness, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now you give somebody light, and now there's a responsibility. We have a privilege that we've been given. How many of us would, by a show of hands, have more than one Bible? Oh my goodness. How many have more than five? I got so many Bibles in my office. You guys are talking between yourselves. I got so many Bibles. You know what that means? There is a responsibility. We have a privilege to have the Word of God. We are so privileged in the United States of America. Watch this now. We can hear truth over and over and over and over and over and over again, and how many of us do nothing with it? And there's some places that haven't even heard it the first time. So we're fortunate. Those seven churches were very fortunate. And I'm getting ahead of myself, Miss Alicia. Those seven churches were very fortunate. God specifically chose them. Why? He cared about those churches individually, but he cared about the people later on patterning themselves after churches. Brother Dorsey and I were talking the other day, and we sat down and we had a long conversation. I'm going to see if I can bring him here the first Sunday night of October. They have traditionally do a morning service. Joe went to one. Morning service, right? And then after the morning service, dinner on the grounds. It's an old country church. And then no evening services. I appreciate that. It was instilling fellowship. But I told Brother Dorsey, he was curious how to do this Timothy thing. And I was telling him it's just easy. And I said, maybe I'll get you to come over and give you an opportunity to sit down with the guys and then preach to the church and so on and so forth. And the thing about it is we have a privilege. We have a responsibility to duplicate this. Those seven churches that Jesus wrote to John to tell them, they had a responsibility too. Here's why. Because somebody's going to duplicate. These men that will leave this church one day, if they leave this church one day, and go somewhere else, they'll pattern what they learned here and what they did here somewhere else. If we're a Philadelphia church, guess what they're going to be when they go somewhere else? A Philadelphia church. Can I tell you how many Laodicean churches duplicate themselves? Can I tell you how many Sardis churches or Thyatira or Ephesus churches become chapel in, chapel in, chapel in, and they just duplicate that mess over and over again. Why? Because they didn't understand the privilege and the promise that they had getting these letters. Can you imagine the angel? The angel at the church at Ephesus is the word literally means the pastor of that church. And so John is writing a letter. Boy, I'm telling you what, could you imagine this pastor standing up this Sunday and say, I read cards. Well, I got a letter this week, and I'd like to read it to you. I'll tell you who it's from afterwards. And then I start reading it, and I say, man, who in the world would write us and point out all those things? And then at the end of it, I say, well, that was from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's things about our church that he wants us to know. Can I say this? If a pastor's worth his weight in salt, he'll read this book as a letter from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll pay. Listen, when I said this, can I say this, Mom and Dad? I love the pitter-patter. If my family knows me, there's a lot I can tolerate. If you can have 11 of them over at my house, my wife, my six kids, my mother-in-law, with my problems, where I got to stand in a corner sometimes, it doesn't bother me. I enjoy it. But to say that means, hey, we need to be thinking about this. Will kids running around the church destroy it? No. But how about if it's a more important topic? How about if it's immorality? How about if it's concupiscence? How about if it's any number of things? The pastor gets a letter from the Lord and he's got to say something about it. And we want him to say something about it, not the pastor, but the Lord. Why? Because we don't want to be one of those churches. I say it all the time about this church. At one time, it wasn't the church that everybody wanted to go to. But guess how quick it can go back to being the church that nobody wants to go to, but it has different players, Laura. It's just completely different players, but they do the same thing. You know why? Because we're made out of the same stuff. And every one of us has the capability to be a very bad person if we don't stay close to the Lord. So the promise of the... Oh, going back to this. We've only done two projects. We've done a lot of things. So far this year, Brother Urchick has come. And we gave him a love offering, Brother O'Malley, for the missions conference. We gave him a love offering. Chris Deaton and his family came through. We gave him a love offering. Cosadale Baptist Temple got our building fund, $3,100 in Scotland. That was a project. Dale Money from VBS came. That was just a love offering for the time he was here and a project. Sarah Barnett came. And then we got hymnals for Brother Whitfield. We have $17,064.55. I was thinking about, as I was studying Revelation, how important the Word of God is. I was wondering if Brother Money could probably use some money. How ironic of a name for that. Brother Money could use some money. And he said the biggest thing he struggles with as a missionary is raising money. I said, with a name like that, you shouldn't have a problem, huh? But when your name's Money, probably everybody thinks you got money. So think about that before Wednesday night. What we spent $15,000 and paid in full for the Tando Bible? Maybe we could give $1,000. What's that mean? Because it's giving someone else a privilege to receive a promise to read, hear, and keep. So it's the promise of the revelation is found in this privilege. Someone might ask, why use the word privilege as a promise? Because when Jesus conveys to John the promise of the revelation, he states this, blessed is he that. The word blessed simply means well off, fortunate. Now that we have been saved and having read the revelation and read, hear, and keep what is found within, we then begin to realize how blessed, how fortunate, how well off we are. I guarantee you, if every one of us took a missions trip this week, went to a foreign country somewhere, and we all came back together on Sunday to worship, and we came into the Sunday night services and pastor said, does anybody have a testimony? We'd all stand up. We forget sometimes how blessed we are and how fortunate we are. There's still not persecution like in other countries. And thus we are, or rather will be, can I say this? Well off, blessed in three specific areas, and Christ lists them. Here's the promise of the revelation that it's found in a privilege. Number one, it's found in the privilege of reading. He said in verse 3a, blessed is he that readeth. One of the things that I've appreciated and learned about the Word of God is the blessing that just comes from reading it. I don't know if we truly ever relay to God how fortunate we are to be able to read His Word. There might be, I was thinking about this when I was studying, there might come a time, I remember Miss Colossa couldn't see. She was blind. Before I die, before I get old, before I'm raptured, could it get to a place where my reading, the ability to read, stops? Can you imagine that? Not being able to read. There's an aspect for me, and I don't know about anybody else, I can only... Does anybody else do this, Brother Mike? I just hold my Bible and I look at the words on the pages. I don't read it. I just flip through it and I look, and because I have the mind of God. Right there, I'm able to look at it. I'm able to read it. I'm fortunate to be able to do that. And he was saying the promise of the revelation. And watch this. Let me try and open it up a little further. We're fortunate. Those seven churches were fortunate. God didn't want them to just... Can I say this about every church on every corner that genuinely wants to follow God? Not trying to be woke and have their own agenda. Because there's a lot of people out there. Can I say this? They are genuinely wrong. But they're genuine. They believe this is what I'm supposed to do. There's people that do ministries here in this church that your ministry philosophy is off and you're not going to ask help from me and coaching from me. And I genuinely believe you're doing it, but you're not opening yourself up to all the other things that are there. That's why it's important for us to read this. But can you imagine not being able to read it? And we have that. And God said, listen, I want to help you. I'm going to write seven letters to seven specific churches. You're going to be indwelled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to understand that it's not, oh boy, did you hear about the church at Ephesus that got that letter? Whew, boy, I'm glad we haven't left our first love. Oh my goodness, did you hear about the church at Sardis that got that letter? Boy, I'm glad we're not like that. They weren't condemning. Yes, those things were happening in those specific churches, but it was for all of them. And here's the privilege and the promise of it, that God would think enough of us to write that to us. That in this day and age, He doesn't want us to be Laodicean. He doesn't want us to be... There was a lot of commendations, but there was a lot of condemnations to those churches that He wrote to. And so the first blessing, the first privilege of the promise is reading. I don't know if we truly ever relay to God how fortunate we are to be able to read His Word. You ever just open up the Bible and said to Him, I did this when I was first saved. Because once I wish I could find that black Bible. But it disappeared somewhere with the red edges on it. And I remember going to that shrunk, Brother Terry. And I can get on Zillow, look up 349 Blanchard Road tonight. I can get on Zillow, 349 Blanchard Road. The house is listed. The pictures from my house that when we sold it are still on Zillow, and that shrunk's still up there, and I can look on the very shelf. The books aren't there, but I remember that night I went to work and I grabbed that. And I didn't realize when I did that how privileged I was. And the promise that was contained in that, because God, years ago, because John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day on the Isle of Patmos for the Lord's sake, penned those words, God preserved those words, contained them in a book, and I can open up and read it. That's a privilege. This is why this church is involved in printing. We support Bearing Precious Seed, Dale Money, First Bible International. Help me with the other one. Worldview with Brother Fennell. And Bible Tracks with BTI. Why? It's important. Because there's other people that don't have the privilege that you and I have. There's other people that don't have it just may be a New Testament. Maybe just the book of Revelation. Maybe the book of John. They don't have it. What was it Brother Money was sharing one time with a video about? They were sharing portions of Scripture. They'd get one Bible and then they'd break it up into 66 books. And they'd pass those 66 letters around to each other. There's stories of prisoners. What's that story? Is it the guy, Tina, what's the movie you took me to? Unbroken? Is that the story where they used, somebody was using the Bible as toilet paper, and the guy that was in that? I've read that somewhere. It was in some book I read, and they were literally using the Bible for toilet paper, and this person that would take those and clean those, whatever, fanny pots, whatever you want to call them, he'd take those things out, rinse them off, and he had Scripture in a prison. And we have how many of them and we don't read it? And there's a promise contained within there. Here's the promise that's contained within there. If somebody needed to be saved from the wrath to come and they read the book of Revelation and they heed its warnings, then guess what? Chapter 5 doesn't start out bad for them. Chapter 5 starts out glorious for them. We see the promise of the book is found in its privilege. The privilege, number one, is reading. This is why the church is involved in printing ministries, because we understand and realize that there is a blessing from being able to read the Bible. Privilege number two that we find in the promise of the revelation is hearing, verse 3b. He says, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Again, we are fortunate. We're blessed to not only be able to read it, but hear it. What does he say to the seven churches over and over again? He that hath an ear to hear. He that hath an ear to hear. Be careful. We talked about in the ushers Sunday and the little bump in the road we had. Do you know what took place? Here's what took place. What takes place when the devil doesn't want you to hear the word of God? You're going to have to prove that to me. Could anybody tell me tonight, don't shout it out, just raise your hand, what was the title of Jacob's message Sunday night? Raise your hand. Whoa, don't cheat. Look at your notes. What was his points to his message? There was a sower that went out to sow seed. Some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and what? Picked it up. When we come, we're privileged. We get to hear. Get to hear the word of God. Get to hear a messenger sent from God. Preach the word of God. Not only read it, but hear it. He that hath ears to hear. We have, he didn't say ears. He said, he that hath an ear, spiritual ear. Knowing that when I come to church, I got to pay attention. Because something might be said that will keep me. Watch this. Let's fast forward, Ryan. Chapter 6. Chapter 7. Chapter 8. 9, 10, 11, 12, 19. If we can read and hear, and I want to get ahead of myself, keep, it prevents what? All of that that's coming. Woes, vials. Help me out. What are all the other things? There's several of them that just opens up. And is there anybody by a show of hands in here says, yeah, I know some people that deserve everything from chapter 5 on? No. So we get an opportunity to what? Read it. That's a privilege. And God said, we're blessed. We're fortunate to be able. We're fortunate in America. We listen, I hope nobody's doing it in here. I don't see it from anybody. But I'm going to tell you what, if we sit back and think all the problems are caused by the swamp in Washington, D.C., we're crippled too high for crutches. All the problems of this country are the result of the pathetic, apathetic, complacent attitude of the church. Because you take the 12, because Matthias, they cast lots. Some say it should have been Paul, but it's Matthias. That church, those 12 turned this world upside down in a government much more wicked than ours. In a time where, watch this, they weren't just suggesting to close the churches down. They were closing the churches down. The little fish that we see so often used on little bumper stickers on people's cars, that was stand up, Noah. We come, we greet each other in the market. I do half circle on this side. You come over, you do a half circle on that side. It makes that little fish. That's where that came from. And it was signaling one another in a midst of a, we're not there. We're not nowhere there. But how many churches keep saying that it's Washington's fault? And we need to get out and vote. And we need to get out and vote. We need to get out and vote. Now, I probably need to say something about that. We need to make more of a position. But can I say this? They formed the Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church. Why? Because Rome couldn't do nothing about the advancement of Christianity. And they said, we got to do something about this. So they just merged the two and made it, if you will, the state religion. And that's why you still have Dagon and all the papal hat, all that wickedness that's in the Catholic Church. And what did our famous Pope come out and say the other day? What did he say? I heard it out of his own mouth that all religions are a path to heaven. This is the same church that was putting Baptists in cages. Same church putting them in cages. And you can still see, you can go historically to churches overseas and they got cages outside hanging from, you know what they did? They put Baptist believers, Anabaptists, Paul Waldenses, whatever you want to call them at the time, put them in those cages to silence them so they couldn't tell anybody else the good news. Now, do you want to know why he used the word blessed? Fortunate. We're fortunate. Anybody doing that to us? We get an opportunity to read. We can be blessed reading. We get an opportunity to hear. We're fortunate. Paul indirectly mentions this regarding the word of God to the Romans. Romans 10, verse 11. He said, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Yeah, that's almost, yeah, whosoever shall be, right? Then we get to 14, he says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" How are they going to call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How did those churches hear what God had to say to them in Revelation unless somebody what? How shall they preach except they be sent? How shall they hear without a preacher? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. When Revelation 4, 5 closes, the opportunity for us that have been promised and privileged, fortunate to have the Word of God, read it and hear it and keep it. We were supposed to provoke Israel to be saved, and you know what we're doing now? We're silent to her persecution. And we're allowing institutions in our country to protest and almost do the same thing that was happening under Hitler's regime. And Israeli students are being persecuted and captive and being killed, and our nation, says mine, does nothing about it. And I wonder at the judgment of the nations further on in the book of Revelation how accountable the United States of America will be. And can I just say this? This ain't the first time America's done it. Because she stayed silent until she had to when Hitler was doing what he was doing. And whether we want to accept it or not, guess who Israel still is? They are the apple of God's eyes. They are the apple of God's eyes. I don't have a Catholic crusade flag in this church. Anybody ever wondered, whatever happened to that flag? Because you know how nauseated I am going into church after church after church that they have an American flag on one side and a Catholic crusade flag on the other side. And we say that's our Christian flag. No, it ain't my Christian flag. I'm supposed to be a friend to Israel. And if I was in South Africa, it'd be a South African flag over there because I represent the country that I'm there, and there'd be an Israeli flag over there. We listen, we read, we hear, and we just completely grow numb to it. We are the representative of Christ here to restore the nation of Israel by jealousy because we love him. We were the wild branch. And they're supposed to see us and go, oh my goodness. And watch this when that next administration gets in office. And we break that allegiance he's talking politics tonight. The whole book of Revelations is politics. Oh my goodness, when we get in there and that wicked administration, Jezebel and Ahab, get into office and they break any kind of allegiance with Israel, buckle up. Because the promise of the Old Testament said, the Abrahamic covenant was, I'll bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you. We have a promise. It's found in the privilege of reading, of hearing. Proverbs 12, 20 and 12 says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. I came across this quote thinking about Brother Baldwin, about hearing. People hear you on the level you speak to them from. Speak from your heart and they will hear with theirs. You say, what's that have to do with this? God wanted us to hear him. He spoke to us from his heart. And there is a blessing with it. Next is this, and I'm done. The promise of the revelation is found in its privilege to read, reading, hearing. Verse 3c, keeping. He says, you're to, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. And then he said, and keep those things which are written therein. It goes back to what I just said. We are fortunate. We're blessed in reading. We're blessed in hearing. And we're blessed in keeping. Jesus didn't reveal to John, and John didn't record what was revealed for it to just be said, but that it would be kept. Mom, Dad, you ever said to your children anytime you're talking to them, hello, I'm not just saying this to say it. Miss Patty, you've never said that, have you? I'm not saying this to say this. I want you to hear me. And if you'll hear me, this will work out. But if you don't, it won't. I'm afraid that most of what the Bible says nowadays anymore just falls on what? Deaf ears. We don't read it. We don't hear it. And as far as keeping it, I'm scared sometimes as the angel at the church at Graham Road, whether God showed up. And he said, well, you ain't keeping much either, big boy. We're supposed to, when that stuff gets thrown out there, that seed, you know the responsibility, the seed's good, the sower's good, it's the soil. You know what the responsibility of the soil was, Ryan? To make sure that the seed fell on fertile ground. And I'm afraid it goes back to this. We ticked the box. Went to church tonight. Can anybody still tell me what Jacob preached on? Huh? Did you look in your notes? You did. But see how easy it happens? I used to do this with my kids sometimes, and we'd get in the car afterwards because we just go through the routine. Here's how you prevent it. When the preaching's taking place, you might not read, and I preach, all these, Mom, Dad, these kids up here are note writers, buddy. See your notepad, Maddie. But anyways, I'm kidding, Maddie. They're note takers. It's great to take notes and listen to it later. Here's what I normally do, because I forget a lot of things. When someone's preaching, I say this to the Timothy guys, I think, before. I might not remember the whole message. I might remember the title. But I'm going to grab something that just, right there. When Brother Strout preached, we had just talked about what was set up there. And there's a thought I'm going to grab. There's an intention. God, I can't remember the whole message, but I know you said this to me. I read it. I heard it. I'm going to keep it. That was for me. And I'm going to keep it. I'm going to put a hedge around it. Why? Because it's going to help me. I've said this before when I preach. That might not be for everybody tonight. Put it in a lunch pail. It'll be for you later on. There's a lot of, not everything is for everybody, but something's for somebody. And when he said, blessed is he, we're fortunate. We're privileged. We got to come to church tonight, read, hear, and then the invitation is your opportunity to keep it. Young people, keep it. Keep thy heart with what? For out of are the issues of life. Father, we'd ask you to help us. Lord, I can't help but say sometimes, and even my own neglect in reading and hearing and keeping, how just nonchalant I am sometimes. And Lord, I guess if I was in a place that I couldn't find a Bible on every corner and I might not have the whole scriptures, I'd be more diligent to not only read it, not only hear it, but keep it, hide it. Your word, you told us, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. How many churches in the next few pages we see sinned because they didn't read, they didn't hear, and they didn't keep the things that you wrote to them. And so we'd ask you to help us. Help us to have read something tonight, heard something tonight, and we'll walk away from here and we'll keep something. Why? So it'll keep us out of problems down the road. My plea, help us. Help us to not be so apathetic and complacent, holding the absolute, eternal, perfect Word of God in our hands. And it is a love letter from heaven, a promise from you to keep us from the wrath to come. Help us, I plead, to see that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.